Okay. If you can use my phone to do a video while we pop the champagne.
Great.
That'll be really fun. I need to go get a, let me go get a thing.
Great.
Yay!
That was a good pop.
That was a dirty pop.
Dirty pop.
I have to tell you this short little thing.
Yeah.
So today, at the work, thank you very much, somebody's like, can I get a Pinot? And I was like, Grigio or Noir? Grigio or Noir? And he's like, yeah. I was like, okay, Noir? Yeah. And so I fill the glasses, red glasses. I then pop on the top, and I'm about to charge him. And he's like, do you not have white wine? I mean.
And you're like, I know a lot about wine, sir, so.
I know enough. I know the difference. I was like, do you mean Grigio? Do you want a Pinot Grigio? And he's like, yes. And I couldn't stop myself from being like, I asked you twice, sir.
Oh, no.
You know.
Right.
And he felt bad. I mean, but I was just like.
Did he tip you well after that?
He tipped me well.
Okay.
And then.
That's the
main reason I tell this story was because then we had two leftover wine.
Huh.
Yeah. And so, but my two of my coworkers took them and they were like, are you okay? Do you not want some, Jimmy? And I was like, no, I'm getting champagne tonight.
Fancy.
Yeah. That was just a long story to say, I'm getting champagne tonight.
Happy New Year to me.
Yeah.
Let's start the New Year right. 12 o'clock tonight when they dim the light. Let's begin kissing the old year off. Kissing the new year in.
Welcome to Tannins and Tunes. I'm Jessica.
I'm Jimmy. Hi, friends. Hi, moms.
Hi, friends. Hi, moms. I think at this point, do you think it is just our moms listening?
No.
It's other moms, too.
It's other moms, too.
Jimmy, happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Oh, my goodness.
This is our New Year's episode of Tannins and Tunes, because fizz the season. I couldn't help it.
It's so good.
Had to be in there. Oh. So Tannins and Tunes, for those of you who are just joining us, we pair wines with Broadway musicals.
What's better than that?
Nothing. Who could ask for anything more? This is a little bit of a special episode, though, because we aren't going to focus strictly on a show this time. We are going to take a look at 2017 as a whole.
Oh.
Yeah, and look at some of our favorite shows from the year, some of our favorite episodes of our show.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, play some games.
Oh, my goodness. That is my favorite part.
Favorite. So let's talk about our wine for today, because that we can't skip out on.
Uh-uh.
Oh, we are doing it. So today, we have a really special champagne because it's New Year's.
It's New Year's.
We have to drink
it. It is champagne. New Year's right now, everyone.
New Year's Eve.
It is New Year's Eve. Yeah. I don't know if you... Okay, you can't see this because this is an audio podcast, but we are actually like in a room of people just in their nicest gowns and shirts and suits. And, you know, and we're just like right in the middle doing a podcast.
And everybody loves it.
Everybody's fine with it. They're great. We're right next to the dip. We're right next to the guac.
The guac.
There's the one dip,
we must
right?
be in California.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have a really special champagne that was provided by the family that I babysit for, and they are wonderful and amazing. They also provided the wine in our last episode, and they are awesome, so shout out
to them.
They are amazing.
They're great. If they want another son, just hit me up.
But then I would have to babysit you, and I'm not, I mean, I guess I could. This would be pretty normal.
Yeah, that'd be fine. You know how I like my peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
Crust cut off.
Off.
So this is the Paul Roger champagne, or it looks like P-O-L Roger. for my mom.
It's like, yeah, it's like Paul Roger.
Like Paul Roger, but make it sound a little fancier.
Yeah, Paul Roger.
Did you know that this was the favorite wine of Winston Churchill?
What?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
It is like his favorite champagne.
This is the wine that gave Winston Churchill his rosy red nose?
Yeah. So the Champagne House was founded in 1849. And typically what happens with this, this isn't a vintage, this is a non-vintage wine. So that means that they take about 30 different wines, still made up of equal parts Chardonnay, Pinot Noir, and Pinot Meunier, but from different years, they take about 30 of them.
Okay.
Oh my gosh, my cat is gonna do something in the kitchen. and it spends 3 years being like aging, basically.
What is vintage then?
So vintage, the wines come from a specific year.
Oh.
So it'll be like the 1950 vintage. But because champagne has to age anyway, and it's just done in a different style, it's done in what's called traditional style for champagne, typically it is a non-vintage wine.
Typically
it doesn't come from a single year.
Great. Now, are there other beverages that are vintage? Like could I have like a 2015 Coca-Cola?
I mean,
or can I have?
You know what's interesting? Probably not by year, but I know that the Dr. Pepper that comes from Dublin, Texas, tastes way better than any other Dr. Pepper that I've ever tasted. So I still think that, you know, you hear about like, oh, well, you get the best Pinot Noir from Burgundy.
Mm-hmm.
You get the best Dr. Pepper from Dublin.
Guys, Dublin has the best prunes. There you go.
So not so much year, but probably geography.
Yeah. Okay. I'll give you that.
Has a little bit of that. Okay. Oh yeah. So we have 33% Pinot Noir, 34% Chardonnay, and 33% Pinot Meunier. And then the dosage is about 9 grams. So dosage is the amount of residual sugar that's added to a champagne at the end.
Oh.
To kind of give it a little bit of sweetness.
A little kick.
Yeah.
A sugary kick.
And we could go into like this whole thing about how champagne is made. But I think I'm going to save that for an episode, where we can get a little bit more in depth on that.
Great. Can I just ask one question?
Yeah, totally.
Is it one type of sugar or could it be any type of sugar? Like, can I throw some peppermint in there, like a peppermint stick in it, and then make like a Christmas champagne?
I wouldn't suggest.
I wouldn't.
It.
Nobody wants a peppermint champagne.
That
does that
kind
not
of sounds
sound
disgusting? But let's go ahead and smell this one.
All right.
Super nutty.
Yeah. Am I smelling yeast? Am I like a yeasty?
No. It is super yeasty, but in a good way because a lot of champagnes can come off as being like sickeningly.
It's a mouthful.
Sickeningly. Nope, that was still wrong. Sweet.
It's very sweet.
Very sweet. Guys, I do make my living doing voiceover. I promise.
Welcome to Baskin Robbins, where we have the sickeningly sweet, sickeningly sweet. We have a lot of flavors.
That does happen to me sometimes.
Yeah.
I get stuck on a word and I literally have to do like Hooked on Phonics above it.
Yeah.
To just get through it.
Oh my goodness.
Or, hitting the right syllable.
Uh-huh. You've got to do that.
The emphasis on the syllable. yeah, I have to work on that. And I'll like go through the script and underline where the emphasis should be, and it's crazy. Okay, anyway, back to the wine. So nutty, a little bit of baking spice in there.
I'll give you that.
But
now that
still,
I know what baking spices are.
Right? Mm-hmm. But still fruity.
Mm-hmm.
But I would think of it more as like green fruit, like pear.
Okay.
Yeah.
Crisp fruit.
Yes, crisp fruit. A little bit of oak on there.
Mm-hmm.
Let's taste.
All right.
Oh, that's lovely.
It's very lovely. It's fruity.
It is fruity.
It's fruity. Now I see what Winston Churchill's getting at.
What kind of fruits are you getting?
I think I'm getting apple.
Mm-hmm. Definitely an apple flavor. I think the nuttiness in the smell is coming off as like a banana in the taste.
Okay, now that you say that, I do taste the banana. Did we ever talk about this? About the banana candy flavors?
No.
And how that banana flavor comes from one type of rare banana?
No.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Right?
That is pretty, yeah. They liken the bubbles to kind of like a fine mousse.
Like, not like with antlers.
Nope, not like, that kind of mousse. Not like, mousse. But like, mousse. But mousse, like, yum, mousse.
Okay, again, and not like hair mousse.
Nope, not hair mousse. Please don't try that.
If you said hair mousse and also yum, we have to talk, Jessica.
The rocks were not enough.
I'd say that, like
a light fluffy mousse.
Right. They're not overwhelming, these bubbles. Mm-mm. They're not overwhelming at all.
Mm-mm. It's not like Pop Rocks.
No.
Because you know some wines, like those bubbles are big. Mm-hmm. And when they get on your tongue, it kind of is like Pop Rocks.
Right. They explode.
Yes. This is very, very nice. But toasty also. Light and toasty.
I'll give you that.
Meaning you can toast with them.
Uh-oh.
That was a good one.
That was a good one.
I just came up with that, too.
Oh.
I'm getting better.
You are getting better. There you go.
So that is the Paul Roger Champagne. You can pick it up at most of your local liquor stores or fine wine stores, or maybe even you can catch it in the fridge at your grocery store. Who knows?
Or tweet at Winston Churchill.
He'll let you know.
He'll let you know.
But thank you so much to the family who provided this for us.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
So I wanted to talk a little bit about some musical theater scenes.
Okay.
That take place on New Year's Eve.
Oh, all right.
So here's the list that I've come up with. Listeners, if you can think of any others, let us know. Mm-hmm. So we have a whole show that's called Happy New Year, and that's what we're going to cover next year. Because I have a friend who is in it.
What?
And I just couldn't get him in time for this year.
When, where, huh?
I know. So don't worry. I don't want to reveal it too early. But
Okay. But
get ready for the Cole Porter musical Happy New Year next New Year's.
Yay! You got something to look for. Ooh, I like that we are now like Marvel and we are teeing things up. For
right?
Years.
Right? We got to make a trailer.
Right. We got to make a trailer. And then, guys, we're at the end in 2020, we are going to create an interwoven universe of our podcast, and our guests are going to all come together and form a superhero wine team.
That would be amazing.
Wouldn't that be great?
I love that idea. The one that came first to my brain, just because I had seen it not too long ago, was Sunset Boulevard.
Okay.
With Happy New Year.
Uh-huh.
That, I mean, it's basically like three songs take place on New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
Which is really great. I do love the song Happy New Year, though, and everybody saying what they're going to do in the next year and how mm-hmm. they're going to be successful, and somebody's going to get her big break, and another person's going to fall in love.
Yeah.
And no all this stuff. I'll be
I love it. Yeah, it's definitely like big plans.
Yeah, which is one of my favorite parts.
Were you going to talk about Sideshow?
That was next on my list. With New Year's Day, the song New Year's Day.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Yeah. Talk about big plans.
Right. Do you want to explain a little bit what happens in that scene?
If I can remember it. Mm-hmm. So they sort of. Toast. Is this the part where they're toast and they're starting to sort of like the one and the two couple, they're starting to fall in love.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And then this isn't when Buddy proposes. This is just before that.
I think we establish that.
We establish that the other sister has a crush
right.
on
yes,
Buddy.
Exactly.
And Buddy is reticent to accept.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. It's a defining moment in the show.
Absolutely.
The next one is not really a defining moment in the show, but it's a fun song, which is Happy New Year from Rent.
Yeah.
Happy New Year.
That's so good.
That's a fun one.
That's a fun one. And I just also like, I mean, we can talk about this on another podcast, but I just do love the idea that they spend the first act just on the entire, on one day, mm-hmm. and the second act on the entire year. I don't know. That was always.
Yeah. I like that. And it starts out with New Year's.
Act
two starts with New Year's.
I want to break into a building on New Year's. That's what I want to do. Can we do that?
Go for that.
Can we do that tonight? Because this is New Year's.
We might have to do our next podcast from prison. Okay. So I don't know how that works.
Skype works, right?
Right.
Five, four, three, open sesame. Happy New Year.
I actually just found, or not found, I received footage of me in Rent.
Oh, uh-oh.
When I was in college.
When you played Mimi?
No, you know who I played?
Who did you play?
All of the other female characters. So I played, like, Mrs. Jefferson.
Uh-huh.
I played the bag lady.
You played the bag lady?
Yeah.
I want to see this video so badly.
No,
and you know what? All
no
of our listeners do too.
It. No one should see it. Also, I sang the all the riffs on Seasons of Love. Should tell you a little bit about where I went to college that I sang that. But it was actually really cool because we got to work with Owen Johnston, who I would love to have on the podcast.
Oh, great.
Reach out. He was in Rent as the dance captain and as a lot of other things. So we used the actual Rent Bible
right.
in our production and basically restaged
very nice.
Using the original, which was super cool. And it was a great learning experience. Just nothing that anyone should ever see of my performance.
So we're going to find it, all the moms.
Also, speaking of a show that starts Act 2 with New Year's, this is a toughie.
Uh-oh.
Phantom of the Opera.
Phantom of the... It does.
Masquerade is on New Year's Eve.
Whoa. That blew my mind.
Right? I was a little skeptical when I saw that, but I think it's
okay.
I think it's true.
Oh, was that his New Year's resolution to...
Masquerade! I'm singing a lot on this one. It's the champagne.
Yeah, everybody is... Everyone is talking about... You do sing on the show now.
I sing on the podcast.
Ah. Cue it up.
The last one is only because I watched it last night with the kids that I babysit.
Yeah.
And I was reminded how wonderful and horrible it is.
Uh-oh.
Which is High School Musical.
What? They have a New Year's?
It starts on New Year's. They
yes.
meet at the New Year's party.
Yes, it does.
And they sing Start of Something.
Guys, that's a great show.
The songs in it are great. I was, as we were sitting there watching, I was trying to discuss Kenny Ortega's directing style
uh-huh.
and all of the different aspects that he was pulling in and what he went on later to do. And this 7-year-old turns to me and just goes, shh. I was like,
oh,
okay, great.
Oh my goodness. That is my nightmare. A little child telling me to shush or what to do. Like a little child bossing me around is my nightmare, and my nightmare happens every day. Like also.
She's so cute though, because it was her first time seeing it.
Oh, so
and
she
so
just
she,
did, yeah.
she wanted to make sure that she understood what was going
right.
on.
She didn't want to be
she was not in the mood to discuss anything.
Right.
Like much less Kenny Ortega.
Like the people, like the people who were on their phone two seats next to me mm-hmm. at the movie yesterday. At Star Wars.
Mm-mm.
What are we doing?
Shh.
Can I borrow your seven-year-old's ward for a second?
Yes.
And just shush all of these kids?
She would. She would do it. So, yeah, that's my list of New Year's Eve.
You know what is funny
scenes.
That's not a New Year's Eve one? Mm-hmm. Because it involves champagne. Gigi's the night they invented champagne.
Not on New Year's.
Yeah.
They're just drinking some champagne.
They're just luscious. we need to get them on the podcast.
She is a princess, so if I was a princess, I would drink champagne every day. Oh, hey, Abel the Cat.
Hey, Abel the Cat.
Abel the Cat what literally are your, wants to come on the mic.
What are your...
Hey!
He's like, well, if you're singing, I'm rapping.
He actually does not like it when I sing.
What?
Abel the Cat will... Oh my gosh, Abel, I can't pet you right now. When I start singing, he will leave the room. Or he'll just start meowing.
Uh-oh.
Being like, Mom, stop it.
Do you think that Abel has notes for you? Like, I think you'd be great just...
He has all the notes.
Yeah.
Just judging by the looks that he gives me and the amount of shade he throws, he has so many notes. Okay, so I wanted to also talk about favorite things that you have seen in this past year.
Favorite things that I've seen in this past year. 2017.
Oh, I had goodness. A little bit of a heads up because I went through and made a little bit of a list.
Yeah.
So you take your time.
Okay.
One of my favorite things that I saw this year was Miss Saigon. I saw it twice.
Oh, I still need to see it.
I'm obsessed. I mean, first of all, I just love Miss Saigon. Like, it is one of those shows that I could probably watch once a month and be perfectly fine.
Yeah.
I also did a really big project on Bublé and Schoenberg in grad school.
Oh.
And I watched the documentary of them making the show. And if you haven't seen it, it's a really, really interesting documentary. I think that you can see most of it on YouTube, I believe. And it traces their search to find Lace Alonga.
Uh-huh.
And it goes through them like creating the poster and how iconic that was and building the helicopter, everything.
Oh, wowzers.
Really incredible. So having that background when I saw it was great. And then Ava... I mean, she just makes me feel bad about myself, but also is amazing. She's just a baby.
She's just a baby.
And she's
good. Okay, again on the Tony Awards, I think we talked about this on our episode, but you could literally see her unhinge her jaw as if like a snake,
mm-hmm.
like she was about to engulf a chicken.
Yes.
Like a full, like an egg. Just like, a, just.
just so
for,
much.
What was like, I would give my life for, yeah.
And there's so much emotion. And I literally walked out with my boyfriend who had never seen it. And he was like, that show was really sad. There's no happiness in that show. And I'm like, yeah. Isn't it great?
Isn't it wonderful? it's just like real life.
Right.
Which I need more of. I'm in real life.
Welcome to my life.
I was just thinking about it. I really enjoyed Groundhog Day.
Oh, yeah.
I loved the, I guess, puppetry or choreography of it.
Right.
That was the best part in my mind. So it was like any other musical to me. It was fun. It was great. Well stylized and choreographed.
Mm-hmm.
But then they did Nobody Cares What I Do,
mm.
in which they mm-hmm, like mm-hmm. take apart that bar and then put
right.
their a truck on them. And then they do puppetry of this like blacklight puppetry of this small, tiny car, you know,
right.
through the town, and it blew my mind.
That's so cool. And and when puppetry comes about like that on stage, it really is just mystifying to me still.
Absolutely. There's still room for it. There's still Speaking of Ava, I'm pretty excited for King Kong.
Oh yeah.
And the,
that's
going
to be interesting. Because I know that it's going through a lot of changes, and especially with the technical aspects. So I am excited about that. I loved Adult House Part 2. Oh. Speaking of technical, that was like nothing. Like,
yeah,
absolutely nothing. I think there was like two chairs and a table
stage.
And it was so powerful, so moving. As somebody who studied theater,
yeah,
so fun.
I'd love to have seen that.
It was really, really cool.
I would have loved
very
to
funny.
Have seen that and compared that with A Doll's Life, the Compton and Green flop,
right?
Which
right.
was essentially
yes.
a sequel to A Doll's House,
right?
You know?
Yeah, definitely. Well, and in it, at least when I saw it, it was the woman from The Humans. I can't remember her name off the top of my head.
Oh.
And she's just a phenomenal actress and somebody that I really admire because she says that she got her start really early, her big break really late in life.
Mm-hmm.
And I, of course, I'm like, yes, you are.
Those are so inspiring.
They
yeah.
really are. They really are. I know that you watched this on Netflix because we watched it together.
Yeah.
But I got to see Oh Hello live.
Oh, I did too.
Oh, good. Okay,
yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Amazing.
That was this year.
Yeah.
Because it felt like forever ago. It felt like a dream.
I saw it early, like in January.
Yeah. Oh.
Very early.
Me too. And I wanted to go back straight away. There are those moments that you want them to stop saying words
so that you can stop laughing.
Yeah, so you can breathe.
Yes.
You can breathe. What I'm so excited for is this opens a door now
mm-hmm.
for comedy, for stuff sort of maybe at the Pit or UCB or for
right.
comedy to find their place here on Broadway. That most recently a Judd Apatow produced a off-Broadway production of Chris Gethard's Career Suicide.
Right, yes.
You know,
we are seeing a lot more comedians off-Broadway and coming up with their own shows, whether it's a one-person show or an actual like plot-driven show.
Right. And we're also like with these comedian things, we're blurring the lines between stand-up and storytelling.
Which I think it should be.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because stand-up is storytelling, just in a different way.
In a different way, and maybe just a cut-up sort of
yeah.
way. And storytelling is stand-up in its own way.
And they also, one of the things that I admired about them is they kind of showed the work a little bit of how hard it is
yeah.
to go up there and be a character for an hour and a half.
Yes.
And they did it beautifully, but it also, you're watching them and you're like, this is really difficult.
Right.
And of course they were doing more improv and
yeah,
relying on jokes a little bit more. But I also think that we as musical theater performers hide the work.
I think we definitely, that's part of the charm,
right.
I guess you could
yeah,
say.
Of course.
Part of it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So it is nice to...
It's nice to see it that. And appreciate it a little bit.
Yeah.
Bandstand was amazing. I mean...
Bandstand...
The end, if you haven't listened. Oh, Hello, you can watch on Netflix.
Oh,
so
Hello, you can watch
it.
On Netflix. Bandstand.
Listen.
Netflix, get up on Bandstand.
Well, go listen to the cast recording at least, because it's
yeah.
incredible.
Don't need a reason, don't need a rhyme. Just gotta swing, have a heck of a time. Acts like tomorrow ain't gonna come. Cause when it does land, it's only for some. Cause you deserve it. Go out and have a ball, cause you deserve it. Don't have to rent a song, cause when you've got the power, you're good at pride and tall, and you deserve it.
It's beautiful music
yeah.
and beautiful dancing, but like it is also, again, we talked about this in our episode, but like the set
was incredible.
Incredible because you didn't think that the set was movable.
Yeah.
You thought it was permanent. And then so they go to New York and they just strip everything away. Mm-hmm. I think that was the upset of the year for me. You know, yeah. I mean, Groundhog Day 2 was very much, but like Bandstand.
I didn't think I was going to like it, and yeah, I loved it.
It was a sleeper hit, and
incredible.
Yeah, I hope that people keep doing it.
Yeah, I think that this opened a door.
Yeah,
for Broadway to be able. I mean, go back and listen to our episode with Andrea Dotto. She's amazing, and we cover all of this. But I think that it opened a door for Broadway to be handling. I mean, Broadway always handled these tough subjects, but especially this PTSD and dealing right. with war and everything right up front and personal. I think it was really important
exactly.
for that.
Exactly. And then you get Andrea's favorite things. So.
Oh, yeah. Go back and listen to that episode.
We're going to get us more Andrea's favorite things.
Right. I saw falsettos.
I saw that was this year too.
Right, I know. And listeners, if you didn't get to see it, it's okay because PBS had it on their great performances, and I think you can get it on Broadway HD.
You can get Broadway HD. I think it's even on PBS.com yeah. or the PBS app still.
So you can go check it out because you have to. Just to see Stephanie J. Block sing I'm Breaking Down. Just even watch that because it's a lesson in musical
it's
theater.
It's a lesson in it's a lesson in shutting up and watching a performer just kill it.
Oh, so good.
Also, it's so me personally, like, that is my show.
Okay.
I don't know why. I think it's just because, like, I saw it at a young age and it just
stuck with you.
It just stuck with me. So I was, by the time it was done, I was bawling. And it's a very sad show but. Ugh, I was a mess. Yeah.
I mean, you have to be.
You have to be.
A show that I was not a mess in, I mean, I was a mess in the middle, but I had already seen it, was Come From Away. And I was really lucky, and we talked about this on the Tony episode,
yeah.
that I saw it in San Diego when it premiered.
Very nice, very nice.
And then I saw it again with my parents, because I've been talking about it for literally 2 years. And my parents were like, we need to see the show.
Yeah.
So we did. And it was just as amazing, just as incredible. And you leave with just a sense of like buoyancy and joy and faith in humanity. And you also like go to this like folk rock show at the end.
Yeah.
Which is awesome. It's just so much fun.
Oh.
So if you want to go see a Broadway show with the family, that you know that everyone is going to enjoy, but still makes a powerful statement and still moves you. I mean, you will laugh, you will cry, you will feel all the feelings. Go see Come From Away if you can get a ticket.
If you can, yeah, it's still a huge
hit.
It's still a hot commodity.
Another one was Dear Evan Hansen that's like that. I mean, I also was really lucky in that I saw Ben Platt in it.
Right, I did.
It was just another person that you're just like, I'm
just going to shush right now.
I'm just going to shush.
Yeah. If we do hashtags for the show, the hashtag of this episode is shush.
And then, of course, Sunset Boulevard. I got to see that with Glenn Close. Incredible.
What have I been doing?
No, I literally entered the lottery like every day. I won a lottery for SpongeBob the other day and I couldn't go.
Oh,
but I'd already I did my morning entering.
You literally even if you can't go to a lottery.
I didn't know that I couldn't go. I didn't know until later in the day, because they don't pick until 3.
Right. So
yeah,
you're doing stuff. All right.
Yeah, and sometimes during the day, you know, your day changes. But if you live in New York, just enter the lottery every day.
Enter the lottery every day.
You're here. Why not?
Can I tell you, this is a little just like inside Jimmy. I used to love rushing versus lottery because if I got there early enough, I mm-hmm. was guaranteed a ticket.
Mm-hmm.
But, now that I'm a little older, I love lotto more than rushing because
you don't get out of bed.
You don't get out of bed, especially the digital ones. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're just like, oh, did I not get one? Okay. I'll go do anything else.
Yeah. That's why I do is because sometimes then I'm win and I'm like,
oh,
I'm going to a show tonight.
I'm going to see a show tonight. Yeah.
This year, what I'm really want to go. Well, actually, we'll talk about this after our game.
All right.
We'll talk about things that we want to see. Because
now that we've got some wine in us, we're going to play games right now.
So good.
It's so good.
Okay. So, Jimmy.
Yes.
Here's the game.
All right.
And you're the only participant today.
And so I'm in a deep voice now.
I already took it and I got a couple wrong.
Is this like a BuzzFeed quiz that you found?
So this one is a Playbill quiz that I found. But I really like it.
They're fun.
They're really fun. So if you can play along with us, and then you can always go and play online with your friends later.
Great.
So this is Playbill.com's quiz of how much do you really know about what's coming to Broadway in spring 2018?
I'm gonna fail so badly.
No, it's gonna be so good.
All right.
Okay, question number one.
All right.
Angels in America is coming back to Broadway.
Yes.
In a production that originated at which theater? The Menier Chocolate Factory, the National Theater, Signature Theater, or the Kennedy Center?
Was it the Signature Theater?
It's the National Theater.
Oh, I wanted to say that. You got to go with your... You gotta go with your gut on these people, okay? That's that is SAT question answering 101.
That is true.
Go with your gut.
It's gonna star Andrew Garfield, Nathan Lane, and Lee Pace. Then it comes to us from London's National Theater.
Oh my goodness.
Okay, question number two. Who is directing the upcoming Broadway musical Mean Girls? Joe Mantello, Jack O'Brien, Jerry Mitchell, or Casey Nicholaw?
Oh, it's is it Joe Mantello?
It's Casey Nicholaw. I know.
Why didn't I say I felt like I was like, no, he's doing something else, isn't he?
We'll see.
Uh-oh. He's doing everything.
So Casey Nicholaw is he did Book of Mormon and Something Rotten, not Something.
And he's done everything.
Three Tall Women, set to have its first ever Broadway production when it opens in March, was written by which Pulitzer-winning playwright? Tom Stoppard, August Wilson, Paula Vogel, or Edward Albee?
Edward Albee.
Yes, yeah, you are correct!
I know that one.
So, Three Tall Women, it says that it played off-Broadway in 1994, but this is its first Broadway production.
It's beautiful.
I'm very excited. I saw the audition notice for that, and I was like... Not going in for that.
You know what?
Tall is in the title.
I did. And I was... And
did they say, why are you...
They
women.
Did.
Women. Women's in the title. Like me.
But I was like, hey, there's not... I was like, there's not enough roles for me. So.
It's 2017. This play will be Second Stage's first production to open directly on Broadway. Lobby Hero, Straight White Men... Torch Song or Cardinal?
Torch Song.
It's Lobby Hero.
What is Lobby Hero?
Which I'm really excited about.
Is that the one with Captain America?
With
Captain America and Michael Cera?
No.
The oddest couple of odd couples?
I don't see.
Oh, I want to see an odd couple. I want to see
that
a production
really
of Odd Couple with Chris Evans and Michael Cera.
Yes.
And Michael Cera is Oscar in this.
Yeah.
Production.
2019. Lobby Hero is the one with the bellman. I don't know. Somebody did a scene from it in college. It's really good. It's really, really good.
I don't know anything about anything.
You're going to get this one. Who is set to star as the Let It Go singing Elsa in Disney's Frozen? Idina Menzel, Patty Murin, Casey Levy, Shoshana Bean. Casey Levy. Whoops.
It's Casey Levy.
Yes. You are correct.
Ah.
She was in Ghost the Musical.
She was in Ghost the Musical.
Ooh, this is a good one. True or false?
Okay.
Renee Fleming will make her Broadway debut in the upcoming revival of Carousel.
True.
It's actually false.
What?
But this is one that I got wrong because I guessed true as well. And it's a tricky question.
Is it like a trick question because she's already made her?
It is a trick
debut?
Question. Playbill, I'm mad at you about this question because she made her Broadway debut in the 2015 play Living on Love.
What?
But this is her first appearance in a Broadway musical.
Tricky, tricky Playbill.
Tricky.
I don't like Playbill anymore. Let's get a BuzzFeed quiz.
BuzzFeed's not making a list about Broadway.
I want... let's get it. Let's get BuzzFeed Broadway and, like, you know, top 10 signs that your book needs a rehaul or... What Roger the Hammerstein song are you? This right? is really good.
This is good. We're ready.
We're ready.
So BuzzFeed, if you want to hire us, we're very expensive.
We're super expensive. We are a bottle of wine.
Yes.
That's how you get me to do anything.
Including this podcast.
Yep.
Okay. This upcoming new play was written by Pulitzer winning playwright Tracy Letts. Is it Farinelli and the King, The Children, Travesties, The Minutes?
Is it The Children?
That was what I guessed too. It is not.
Don't tell me it's Farinelli and the King.
No, it's The Minutes.
I don't even know what that is.
I don't know either, so we have to see it. But it made its world premiere at Steppenwolf.
Oh.
So we got to see it.
Do you think he was mad? Do you think Tracy Letts was mad when he didn't get the role for Superior Donuts, the TV show?
Probably. He was real mad.
He was real mad.
And then he was like, I'm going to go write this play.
I'm going to go do stuff, actually.
Right. I'm going to be super famous and win a Pulitzer. So Denzel Washington, a Tony winner for his performance in Fences, returns to Broadway this season in a new revival of this Eugene O'Neill classic. Morning Becomes Electra, The Iceman Cometh, The Emperor Jones, Strange Interlude.
The Iceman Cometh.
Yes.
Yes.
Begins on March 22nd. Oh. Okay. This director will helm the first ever Broadway production of The Boys in the Band. Is it George C. Wolfe, Patrick Marber, Joe Mantello, or Trip Cullman?
Trip Cullman?
No, it's Joe Mantello!
No, I was going to say Joe! Go with your gut!
Go with your gut!
Go with your gut. I also liked that George C. Wolfe, George C. Scott was in there. George C. Wolfe, because he is either very old or has passed.
No, George C. Wolfe is still alive. He is somewhat old. The last thing that he directed was, I believe, the Shuffle Along.
Oh, am I thinking of a different person? Because I'm literally thinking of the person who, directed the first musical in, 1920.
Nope. George C. Wolfe is not him. George C. Wolfe is amazing. He was actually in my professor's NYU class for musical theater writing.
Okay.
Which is super interesting. Fun fact.
He's a student in that class?
Yeah.
Oh.
Because he's not... He's old, but not super old.
Oh, okay. Because again, I'm
I think you're thinking of a different person.
I'm definitely thinking of a different person.
Okay, last question. Here we go. This star of stage and screen.
Uh-huh.
Hint. Is set to be...
Joe Mantello.
Is set to be Eliza Doolittle in Lincoln Center's upcoming revival of My Fair Lady.
Mm-hmm.
Lauren Ambrose, Laura Osnes, Leah Michelle, or Laura Benanti?
Lauren Ambrose.
Yes. Yay! I got that wrong. I wasn't thinking.
Who did you think it was?
I thought it was Laura Osnes.
Oh.
I was just thinking of who would sound good on that.
Yeah, she would great. Well, they've. I think that they were always trying to find, we're quiet voices, so they can't hear us. I heard a rumor that Anne Hathaway was going to play her once.
Hmm. Yeah. Interesting.
Could be fun. Interesting.
So we have some cool stuff coming up in this next season.
Uh-huh. We do. Well, I don't like this quiz because I thought the quiz was going to be like, hey, yes or no, is this play coming? And you're like, yes. Is this I have actually no facts?
I know. Playbill makes you think.
Ugh, I don't want to do that.
Well, I have another game to make you think.
Let's do it.
And this is a little bit, it's going to be fun because we've been doing this podcast now since May.
We have.
You have since late June.
Yeah.
So go back and listen to our first episodes because they're really funny of us getting to know each other.
Yeah.
Again.
Getting to know you. Getting to know all about you. Guys, I'm in a big bosomy dress right now. to like you. Do I get a Tony for this?
Fun story. I played Anna and the King and I once.
Of course.
And when I was, you know, way too young to do that.
Of course.
The problem is that I can't actually whistle. So my Whistle a Happy Tune, I had to have like a stand-in no! whistler in the back, like Singing in the Rain style.
Singing in the Rain style. And then the King like turned and like was like, this is the real star of the show. Also, your king is Paul Lynde. This is the real star of the show.
Oh, it was crazy. But I really did like the dress. The dress was super fun to dance in.
That sounds great.
Okay, so we've been doing this show for a while.
Yeah.
And I feel like you've gained some knowledge on wine.
Uh-oh. Okay.
So here we go.
Did you create this?
I didn't. I found this one online.
All right.
Guys, I was pressed for time. It's the holidays.
Pressed for time like grapes
when you make wine? Look at that! You're good. Okay. Of these four, what is the white grape varietal? Pinot Noir, Pinot Grigio, Cabernet Sauvignon, or Tempranillo?
Oh, I know this one because it came up today, as I told you. It's Pinot Grigio.
Good job! Yay! Okay, name the principal red grape used in Argentina. Is it Pinotage, Merlot, Malbec, or Carmenere?
Pinotage?
No.
Is it the last one?
No, it's actually Malbec.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I should have known that. I know the Malbec.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. In which winemaking country would you find Chianti? Italy, France, Spain, or Chile? So think about the wine store.
Oh, right. I want to say Spain. No. Is it Chile?
No.
Is it Italy?
It's Italy.
You
know it.
Go
with your gut.
With your gut. Because you're like, Italy, yup. And then other things come in and you're like, well, maybe it is that.
Right, I know. In the rolling hills of Tuscany. Okay, you're going to get this one. True or false? Riesling can be both dry and sweet.
True.
Yeah.
Yay!
Because remember our episode on Beautiful the Musical?
Yeah, we had a dry Riesling.
Yeah. Exactly.
Oh, that's so good.
As I sweated to death. Literally go back and listen to that episode, listeners, because I talk about how hot I am, and then you just don't hear me talk for the rest of the episode.
Right.
Because I'm very hot.
Well, because, yeah, it was summer, and we couldn't put any fans or air conditioner on because it would make too much noise.
Yeah, and we had four people. So it's going to be a hard one, but I think that you're going to get it. Douro is a winemaking region in which country? Argentina, Chile, Italy, or Portugal?
It sounds like Portugal.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. What is an alternate name for Shiraz? Syria, Syrah, Surly, or Syrup?
Syrah,
yeah. Same thing. So if you go to the store and you see a Shiraz and a Syrah, same grape.
And if somebody gives you guff and it's like, it's Syrah, it's not Shiraz, you put them right back into their...
Same grape. Different country.
All right.
Okay. Where would I find a Chateauneuf du Pape? The Rhone Valley? The Loire Valley? Medoc or Languedoc? I know, it's a hard one.
What?
I know.
Even cover this?
You might not know this one.
C. Let's go with C.
That's okay. It's A.
All right.
The Rhone Valley. Here, let me... Oh, you'll get this one.
Okay.
Chardonnay can be what in body? Light, medium, and full? Only light? Light and medium? Or quite muscular?
A. Light, medium, full.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Yep. So it's a really versatile grape. It's grown in many different ways and so it can have different kinds
great,
of body.
Because you can get a buttery Chardonnay, you can get an oaky Chardonnay, you can get a buttery oaky Chardonnay. Which
you can get one that's done in stainless steel, which is probably going to be lighter in body because it's unoaked.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Good job!
I did better on this wine quiz than I did on the musical quiz.
You've learned a lot about wine.
I have learned a lot about wine. It hasn't even been a year. Oh, my goodness.
I know. It's been a fun year.
It is.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's been a good time.
It has been a good time. Do you want to talk about our favorite episodes?
Yeah, definitely.
The
okay,
show?
Why don't you start?
Okay. I think my three favorite episodes, in order are, the first with Andrea Dotto, A Bandstand with Andrew. Again, because Bandstand was such a, like, it was such a surprise, wonderful show for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then to hear Andrea talk about it, to hear about the story was so inspirational, so beautiful. And I still think we need more, Andrea's favorite things.
Oh, always.
So Andrea, we want some more favorite things. Tweet us whenever you find something new that you love. My second favorite is the Tony party, is Tana's and Tony's, cause it was,
We were very drunk.
We were just very drunk, and it's a whirlwind. And I wish that some of the stuff on the Instagram story was still around, because that was so much fun. But that was also, like, it was a great night of, like, interaction. But then it was just, like, fun and drinking and musicals, and it was the best. And then my number one was my first episode, Red, White, and Crew. Yeah.
I love, that was a great episode. I think that would be one of my favorites as well, along with Tana's and Tony's, but to be a little bit different, I'll choose some other ones. I loved both of our live episodes. Those were really fun.
Oh,
my
goodness.
Our first live episode with BD Wong was amazing. I mean, to get to talk to BD Wong.
To get to talk to BD Wong. It was, and I got to ask him about my Joe's apartment question, and he finally answered.
The question that everybody wanted to know.
Everyone wanted to know.
And then our episode on Turkey Lurkey Time that we did at BTL Harlem was also really fun, just to engage with our audience and in a different way.
Right. And to know that we have more people than moms.
Yeah.
Listen, it has.
Which is amazing. We love every single one of you.
You're right. We love every single one of you. But if you do want to send us care packages, we'll love them. Yeah, we'll accept it.
And then I also loved our crossover episode with Equity One. That was super fun.
Yes.
And went on far longer.
It was far longer. And there was overlapping conversations. And
what's also cool about it is that if you go on to their podcast, if you download that episode, you hear a completely different episode than what we released, because of editing and amazing things like that.
Yeah.
They have different stories that we didn't put on ours, and we have stories that they didn't put. So you can listen to the same conversation in a completely different way.
I was just thinking about those two, and I was like, I want to do another one of those with them so badly.
It was awesome. And it was so much fun. Also, our guests are off doing incredible things. Emily Grace Tucker right now is in Elf.
Right.
At Madison Square Garden. Which is so cool. I was going to say something else. Oh, Ariana DeBose is finishing up playing Donna Summer in the Donna Summer musical that's at La Jolla Playhouse.
Oh, wow.
And might be transferring to Broadway. So that's pretty cool.
I don't know if I can... I don't actually know if I can say this, but whatever. I'm going to say it now. Taylor Jones is in the workshop reading of King Kong right now.
Yeah.
So.
And Melvin Tunstall is still writing his Polka Dots the Musical and working on that, which is incredible.
Melvin Tunstall is just...
He's working on 10,000
Things. 10,000 Things is amazing. Melvin Tunstall is just amazing.
He's just incredible. Tyler McKenzie just booked the Hamilton tour.
Yes!
So he's going to be on tour, so we'll see him around. Tug Watson is back in town doing Cats. And getting his master's at the same time.
Oh, my goodness.
Awesome. And Rosie is rocking in Lion King and teaching me dance, and we have a good time every week together. I mean, we have just, oh, and Christine Corner Smith, who I talked to about Cats,
yes,
is doing, again, 10,000 things.
Oh my goodness.
She did the Crazy for You musical at Encore, which they're looking at turning into something a little bit bigger.
Please.
With Susan Stroman.
Please.
Right? I mean, please. Everybody. And then, of course, former host Jonathan Caberta is doing all the things.
All the things.
Which is why he can't come and be on this podcast. Because
yes.
He's just too busy being amazing.
I will never live up to him forever. And that's my entire thing.
Jimmy, we're just doing this because both of us don't have other lives.
No, we're not.
No, we are both very successful. You are doing incredible things. What's something that you're excited for in this next year?
What I'm excited for in this next year? I am excited to, I'm reworking and revamping, my variety show that I do. I'm sort of trying to, I had two shows and now I'm consolidating into one show. And then I'm really focusing on creating my own work. So I'm just going to start up a web series. So
amazing.
Sorry. Yeah.
I love that.
What about you?
This next year, you know, I'm really excited about doing more voiceover stuff. It's super fun. I love that I can do it in my pajamas.
Right?
Makes everything better.
Not like now, because right now it is New Year's Eve,
no,
and
we are fancy.
We are so fancy.
Very fancy.
But we're reverse fancy. So she's wearing a tux, and I, again, am wearing that bonnet from King and I. And I love it. I love a good bustier.
Yes, well, it, like, keeps you in. I'm also really excited about seeing where this podcast goes in the next year. And seeing what new people that we get to talk to.
Absolutely.
And being able to push myself in musical theater history and just learning new things and continuing to push myself as both an artist and an educator.
Right. I think, I have probably said it numerous times off podcast, on the podcast, but it is an amazing thing to see, Jessica, to see you do this thing where you take these two disciplines and you blend them perfectly, and it is become such a thing that you can do it off the top of your head, and that's the magic of it, I think, really, in my mind.
Well, and if you want to come and see that feat of strength, come to BTL Harlem, hit me up. I'm there on Sundays and should be in the next year. And Jimmy, where can people follow you to make sure that you're doing all these amazing things?
Keep me accountable, people. Keep me accountable. I am at Twitter at Jimmy_Robertson, and I am on Instagram at Jimmy Robertson.
Awesome.
What about you?
You can find me at JMHumphrey1 on Twitter and Instagram, and Jessica Humphrey on Facebook. And then make sure to follow the podcast at Tannins and Tunes on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook. And check out our website, tannins and tunes.com, and sign up for those tasting notes.
Yes.
You get a newsletter every time an episode drops. You get a newsletter of the wine and the show and the guests and fun videos. Who knows, with this episode, you might see a video of me and Rent.
Let us hope. But you don't get it unless you sign up.
Yeah, you just subscribe to the tasting notes, and I promise that is the only email that I will send you, is when the episode drops, you get an email from me that just says, hey, this is episode 20.
Yeah. Yeah, and I've already signed up 3 times.
Right.
Again, for this video. All right.
And make sure to rate and review us on iTunes. If that is one thing that you can do for us in the new year, it is that.
Yeah. If you make one New Year's resolution, and only one, make it that you review Tannins and Tunes.
Because then you can just complete it.
Then you can complete it, and then you can just go
just
on with your life.
Done for the year. You don't have to do anything
else. You don't do anything else. There's no growth in you at all, because you've done the thing that you said you needed to do.
Right? It really does help us as a podcast be able to get up higher in the charts, and people can discover us. And make sure to share us with your friends, anybody who loves Broadway and or wine, which is basically everybody. Make sure to share it. And if you review us, we'll pair your username with a wine on the podcast.
Right? Isn't that the best? And if everyone has done it, thank you so much.
Yeah.
It's been so wonderful to talk with people and connect with people. So if you have questions for us, like, reach out.
Always email us at tannensandtunes@gmail.com.
Or we just want to say hi.
Yeah, like, anything. Let us know how the podcast has affected you or not affected you.
If I have one criticism, it's that I don't get this wine.
Or you can send us pages of notes like my mother.
I need to see these.
Oh, it's great.
Stat.
It's great. Well, everybody have a happy new year.
Happy new year, Clinkies.
One little chance. Here comes the jackpot question in advance.